Praise God.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the Father's house.
Father's house.
This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Joy.
Healing in the house.
Yes, amen.
Salvation in the house.
Amen.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in the house.
Jesus.
Everything you want is in the house.
Hallelujah.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it.
Amen.
If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for this. These exceeding great and precious promises which we find in this book in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes,
thank you, Lord, for watching over your word to perform it.
Glory.
We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word.
Amen.
Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believers that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Paul was in Antioch. Chapter 13. This is not the Antioch where he was. This was not Paul's home church, Antioch. This was a different Antioch. Paul's home church of Antioch was in Syria. This is in Asia. So Antioch is one of those great churches of Asia that is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. And so when Paul leaves, we're going to get him out of Antioch today. And he's going to go to Iconium, which is another great church in Asia that was not mentioned in the book of Revelation. And so we've been talking in our end time studies, why in the world did, why this seven? Now, nobody really knows the answer to that. But anyway, there were a lot of great churches in Asia besides these seven. So, we can only speculate as to why God chose these particular seven. But anyway, so Paul is in Asia, and he's starting churches in Asia, and he's beginning churches in Asia. So now, we just got through reading one of the most important sermons that's recorded in the New Testament. And it's important because it's important for end time purposes. It's important for to set the stage for the whole, it puts the whole 70 weeks thing in perspective. It sheds a whole lot of light on the 70 weeks and gives us ammunition or information in which to understand and interpret the 70 weeks. It's a very important sermon that Paul gives us here.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely important, and we just read that last time. We're not going to go back into it. I do want to go back to verse 45 here and bring out something. It says, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now in Romans 11 and 11, it says, talking about the end times again, what then? Israel had not obtained, this is verse 7, Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Who was the election?
Christians.
That's right. That's right. The election, who was Paul and his brethren, the Jewish brethren that accepted Christ, the election did receive it, and the rest were blinded.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you're the only way you can be part of the election is to be a Christian. Can't be elected if you're not a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So then anyway, it goes on down here and he says, I say then, this is verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, technically, that scripture was fulfilled. That prophecy that he would provoke Israel to jealousy by a people which were not a people is the Old Testament scripture, which refers to the church. And we got folks nowadays running around saying that they can't find the church in the Old Testament. That's truly remarkable. Because Paul found it everywhere. I don't know what's going on. You folks can't find the church anymore in the Old Testament. Paul found the church everywhere. But anyhow, technically this scripture was fulfilled right here because Paul's ministry provoked Jews to jealousy. It says that. So Paul, you know, God said, the prophecy said, I will provoke you to jealousy, and right here's where it happened. Praise the Lord. And now, you know, interestingly enough, when I was reading through here, we see this great message, this great sermon Paul preached, but we don't see any great miracles that he didn't. We don't see any healing recorded, and we don't see any miracles that were recorded, which is kind of unusual in Paul's ministry, because we're always reading about Paul's. That was what his whole ministry was, marked by miracles and healings. And we're not seeing any recorded here in Antioch. That's not to say that none of them happened there, but we're not seeing them there. In Iconium, we do see that in his next church. But they ran him out of Antioch. It says here, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now, that brings up another point that you know, we always hear it preached, you know, that this gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And we keep preaching, well, we got to, you know, the end won't come, the rapture won't come till we've reached all nations. Well, actually, Paul said it had already been done in his time. He said, have they not heard? And he said, yes, they've heard. Their voice went to the ends of the earth, and so on and so forth. So they're without excuse. Yes, they were. The world was reached in Paul's day. It doesn't have to be done again. That doesn't have to be done again. That scripture's been fulfilled. It doesn't have to be done again. How many times do you have to reinvent the wheel over and over and over and over?
But ends of the earth and everything, now that would mean over in South America and North America.
Yeah, it's according, you know, Paul's got this verse of scripture where he says they have heard it, the ends of the earth have heard. And of course, I think there are statistically 1 in 3 people on the face of the planet is a Christian or claims to be a Christian today, right here as we sit here today. 1 in 3 people on the planet claim to be a Christian. So that has been done. That part has been done. They have heard the word. Christianity has reached the planet. It has reached the planet. Okay.
In our day, we've done it.
You don't have to do it in every generation.
I understand.
It don't have to happen in every generation. You know, so let's move on from that, okay? Something else is going on here, but let's move on from that. That was done, I mean, you know, that was done in the first century, or the second century for sure that was done. And now, Christianity is by far the largest religion in the world, and 1 in 3 people claim to be a Christian. So, there you go. All right, well, I can see I need to move on from that. And the word of the Lord was published throughout the region. Yes.
There you go back. Something you said at the very beginning. You said this is the Father's house.
That's right. That was the beginning.
There's salvation.
That's right.
And healing.
That's right.
And prosperity.
That's right.
And all these other things.
That is correct.
But now he says, this gospel shall be preached.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That gospel wasn't the one that was preached. We got missionaries out there, but they're not preaching that prosperity is in the house.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
Are they? You know, so that gospel that Jesus was talking about wasn't being preached.
Are you sure that's the gospel he was talking about?
The thing is, that the gospel is all these things. Like you say, salvation is all these things. But when they get left out, when people just go and say, well, you get eternal life, and that's it, buddy. You know, you don't get healing, you don't get prosperity, you don't get all these other things. You just get eternal life.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of denominations are doing, and their missionaries are doing. So, I don't know, maybe that...
Well,
I know you want to get away from that, but I just thought...
I know, I have thought... So, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
And we might get to some of that in our end time study. We can dwell on that on Monday night, okay?
Right.
We can dwell some more on that on Monday night.
But in addition to all that, Romanti, this generation is equipped to reach our the electronic generation is equipped to go through every country that
Yeah, that's true.
No matter where it's
at. I'm not sure that the gospel that we're preaching today is what we ought to be preaching.
Salvation.
I'm not sure that the gospel that's reaching the world today is that which God would approve of, necessarily. I'm not real sure that that's the real deal. I mean, you know, some of this stuff that's going out today is not so good. And I don't know about that. So that's again, that's something else we can talk about in our Revelation study.
That's true. And some of it is and some of it's not.
Some of it's good, some of it's not so good.
And
that's true.
That's the way it was in Paul.
That is correct.
It's going to be that way in every generation.
That is true.
Some folks go out that's not good and some
that's
good.
That's right.
Because as long as you have the enemy here.
Yeah. He's going to try to pervert the gospel.
You're going to have that kind of...
That's true.
That's right.
Some are holding up from preaching the full gospel.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want
to... Can't hear your hand touch.
I said some are not preaching the full gospel because they don't want to hurt the big tithers in their church.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
It is true. They have reasons.
So they're going to...
That's true.
But I can say we're getting the real gospel from Romani.
Lord help. We're reaching for it, sister. Praise the Lord. All right, let's move on down here to verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And that would have been the region of Asia, praise the Lord. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, here it says, you know, that Paul said, you know, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Most Christianity today relies on enticing words of men's wisdom. That is the long and short of it all. Most Christians today don't even believe in signs and wonders and miracles and so on.
There's no supernatural belief.
There is no supernatural.
All of this in the Old Testament is just a fable story to most Christians.
Basically, that's true. I'll grant you that. I'll give you that. That's unfortunately the case. And you know, when we're talking about, you know, one out of three, a third of the people of the world are Christians, a third of the world is probably a small percentage of that bunch of folks are born again, and probably even a smaller percentage of that really believe in signs and wonders and miracles, and you know, that the fact that God still, that the gifts of the Spirit still operate.
It's without repentance.
Yeah, right. The gift of the Spirit still operates. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's pathetic that, you know, we've got so many people here in this country that, you know, you rub shoulders with every day. And I'm not going to mention churches, but some of the bigger churches in this country consider themselves to be fundamentalists and so on and so forth. And they think that the the gifts of the Spirit no longer operate.
Well, the reason why is because they believe they don't need the gifts of the Spirit anymore.
They think that. I know they think that. I know they think that. I know they think that. But how stupid is that? That's pretty stupid, okay? I mean, how stupid is that? That is not how the church got started. And it is not how the church is going to finish up. You know, I mean, if God thought that the church needed the signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit to launch the church into the world, He's going to need the gifts of the Spirit to launch the church out of the world, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The church needs the Holy Ghost power not only to start, mm-hmm. but to sustain it and to get it out of here. The church needed the power of the Holy Ghost to start it and establish it, it needed the power to sustain it throughout the years and to get it and to finish it.
Right.
And to get it out of here.
Right.
We're not going to go out of here, presumably at least, we're not going to go out of here, and we shouldn't, with less power than we came in with.
Amen.
And that's awful. That'd be a horrible testimony.
It'd be a greater power.
How in the world could we face Jesus and say, you know, Jesus said, you know, and Jesus said, well, you made it, but
said, well, there, says,
yeah.
Well, I'm done.
You made it all right. I got to give you that. But you know, you didn't have my power and my anointing while you were there.
So we can't say like Paul. I thought
of no.
Finish my course.
No, I mean no, you can't say that.
Oh, okay. Just say we're the group barely. That barely made it.
Just barely made it in. If I can just make it in by my fingernails, you know, holding on. If I can just barely hold on, you know, that is a lot of the mindset of a lot of Christians. And that is we're supposed to be more than conquerors, and you know, this is pitiful. But anyway, so we need to absolutely grab on to the promises of the book and hold on to the book. We've got to believe, not be faithless, but believing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the Lord granted these apostles signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and under the region that lieth round about. There's two more cities of Asia that are not mentioned in the book of Revelation, Lystra and Derbe. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked.
Wow.
And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.
Yep.
And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul here, see it again, it says, you realize here, it says Barnabas is an apostle, right?
Right.
Barnabas is an apostle. So Paul is not only Paul that is an apostle, but Barnabas is an apostle, because it says apostles with an S on it, which means more than one.
Yeah.
So Barnabas and Paul, the apostles, heard of it, and they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. And then they decided to kill him. So in one minute they were going to sacrifice to him as gods, and then they tried to kill him. So there you go. I mean, that's just a great bunch of folks there. But anyhow, so I'm gonna stop right there. I'm gonna make a little mark right there. We'll start there again, with verse 15. At the end of verse 15, I'm gonna stop right there. We'll start up. I'll start up there again next time. Praise the Lord. God is good.